Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood. Hallelujah. Of Jesus. Lord, have mercy. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah to his name. Hallelujah, God. We bless you and we praise you and we just glorify your name, God. You are wonderful, God, and we are awesome in this place. And we just pray, God, that you would just move by your spirit. Have your way, God. Go ahead and preach your word, God, and allow me to decrease it as you increase in my life, God. And just move on the hearts of your people as we go forth throughout this message, God. We're going to continue to talk about the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and thank God. Hallelujah. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The scripture, we read most of it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Go on and have your way, God. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. Yes, Lord. Yeah, God. Hallelujah. Hey, God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory, God. Hey, God. Hey, God. Hallelujah, God. Go on and have your way, God, in this place. Hallelujah, God. Glory to your name, Father. Hey, glory. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Yay. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. Glory to your name, Father. Yay. Glory. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah, God. Have your way, God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. Get your praise, God. Hallelujah. Glory. Go on, God. Yes, God. Yay, God. Hallelujah. Yes, God. Yes, God. The blood of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Yes, yes. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Nothing but your blood. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, God. Thank you, Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to start from verse 17. The scripture says, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. And one is hungry and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. When I come. And we're just going to talk a little bit about remembering, and that's our title. And we're going to look at three things. We want to remember because of what it was, remember because of what it is, and remember because of who it's for. Amen. Remembering. Now, here Paul was talking to the church of Corinth, and he was trying to explain to them the importance of taking Holy Communion. And he was hearing that these people were taking it, you know, like they didn't really care about what was really going on. And they came to supper drinking and getting drunk and eating like they never ate before, and just getting in front of people. Didn't have time to wait for the poor to be fed. They just jumped all in front of people. They didn't care about what it was that they were actually coming to do. They did not even, you know, they didn't have any thought about the real reason why they were there. And how many of us sometimes we do that? We come to the table and, you know, we have a lot going on. It's just so much stuff going on. We just all over the place and not even thinking about the real reason why we take Holy Communion. And so Paul was mentioning this to those people because he was saying, you know, listen, this is what I received from the Lord. I need for y'all to understand. I got this from the Lord. And I delivered it to you. And I thought I delivered it right to you. I wanted you to understand what this thing was seriously and really about. But you have not done what I thought that you should do where Holy Communion is concerned. And so Paul was telling them, you know, come on, let's get it together. Let's get it together, because what happens is when you take the Holy Communion unworthily, you shall be guilty of the body and blood of our Lord. You have to understand this is about what's going on with our Lord. Amen. And it's not, you know, us coming just to have fun and just, you know, coming here just to take the juice and to take the bread and just, you know, skipping up and down the aisle and stuff. No, it's not about that. It's more to taking Holy Communion than we think.
So, you know, we think about remembering. When Jesus said, take this in remembrance of me, we remember Holy Communion. Remember Jesus. Amen. But, you know, today marks the 10th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. And, you know, many people are remembering that today. We're remembering the fact that so many people died on that day. They said maybe about 3,000 people died and about 6,000 were injured in that one place. And in other places too. Amen. And this was, you know, a horrific thing that happened. And people want to remember. They want to remember what happened. They want to remember the people. They want to remember the legacy of their loved ones, and that the legacy won't be forgotten. And many of us, we remember our loved ones. We talk about, you know, our loved ones, and we remember their birthdays, you know. We say, oh, you know, today is Daddy's birthday. It's March the 3rd. It's Daddy's birthday, you know. We remember those things. We, you know, it's hard to forget. So we remember. So Jesus said, remember me. So let's look in Luke chapter 22. Go to Luke chapter 22 because we want to look at what it was. What was this Holy Communion about in the first place? Where did it come from? And let's start in verse 7. It says, then came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. And they said unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall be a man meet you. There shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And ye shall say unto the good man of the house, the master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And so each year, they would all the Jewish males over 12 were required to go to Jerusalem for the Passover festival, which is followed by a seven-day festival called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. All right. And so the Passover was commemorated the night the Israelites were freed from Egypt. You'll find that in Exodus 12. Turn to Exodus 12. Amen. When God passed over homes marked by the blood of the lamb while killing firstborns in unmarked homes. Let's look at Exodus chapter 12. And we're going to start at verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron and in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goat. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening.
And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two sides, side posts, and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor side at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning, ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast for an ordinance forever. Amen. So the Passover, it was a commandment, a memorial that God wanted the children of Israel to keep for throughout their generations. Amen. And God was showing them that, you know, when he sees the blood, because they were in captivity and they wanted out. They had cried unto the Lord to get them out of captivity, get them out of Egypt, because the people were treating them so bad in Egypt. And God came to get them out of Egypt, and he put a lot of plagues on Egypt. But this plague was a plague that got them out. Amen. He told them to find you a lamb without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. He said, kill the lamb. It had to be a perfect lamb. It had to be a lamb without blemish. He said, kill it, and then take the blood of the lamb and strike it on the doorpost and strike it on the lintel. He said, and when you strike that blood on the lintel and your doorpost, he said, when I see the blood, he said, because see, your faith in the blood is what's going to keep you tonight. If you trust me, if you trust in my blood, if you trust in the blood that I have said, it will be the blood that will keep you. If you trust in it, this is what is going to happen for you tonight. Every person, every firstborn will be killed in Egypt. Every firstborn who does not have the blood on the post. Amen. And so we have, people, everybody decided that they were going to do what God, they had faith in that blood, because you know what? They said, you know what? We don't want our babies to die. We don't want anyone to die. We don't want, you know, our animals to die. We don't want anything to die. And so we're going to trust in this blood. And so they put the blood up on the mantle, and they put the blood on the lintel, and they put the blood on the doorpost, and they got in their houses, and they did what God told them to do inside their houses, and they waited for God to begin to move. And see, the thing is, they didn't all have to do that if they didn't want to. There might have been some of them there who didn't believe in the blood. Hallelujah. But it might have been some of them there who said, you know what, I ain't worrying about this. My child going to be all right. I'm going to do what. How many people, how many of us decide sometimes that we're going to do what we want to do? But this is the way God said it was supposed to be. And God said it's the blood that's going to keep you safe. It's the blood, hallelujah, that's going to keep you from being killed, your children from being killed. And so many of them put the blood on the doorpost and throughout the night, God sent the death angel, and when the death angel came by, they could hear the people crying and screaming and running to the doors. My child is dead. My this is dead. My dad is dead. And they were crying because they didn't understand what was going on. But God was, he was sending a plague on them to let his people go. And what happened is when everybody, when those who put the blood on the doorpost, when they put the blood on the doorpost, the angel passed by. The death angel passed by their house. He said it would be a sign for you. Hallelujah. That the angel is going to pass by. He said, when I see the blood. When I see it. When I see the blood, I'm going to pass over. Hallelujah. And so, he says, when I see the blood, I'm going to pass over. The blood, it was God's provision. It was God's provision for salvation from physical death for them. When they put the blood on the lintel and the blood on the doorpost, it was God's provision. This was God's way of doing things. And you understand what I'm saying? And a lot of times we don't want to do things God's way. But you know what? A lot of people found out that day that God's way, there's no other way than God's way. God knows what he's talking about. That when he tells you to do something, he knows exactly what he's talking about. And he knows what he's doing in your life. And so when he speaks to you, when he tells you to do something, he's doing it for your good. Hallelujah. And so they put the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel. And then the death angel saw the blood. And when he saw the blood, he had to bow down to the blood. See, he couldn't touch that house. You understand what I'm trying to say? He couldn't touch that house because the blood. The blood was covering that house. So let's go back to Luke chapter 22. And see, this is all Paul was trying to tell the people in Corinth. He was just trying to explain to them the importance. He was just trying to explain to them, listen, you know, y'all, evidently you didn't get it the last time. I'm going to give it to you again. Luke chapter 22. We're going to go back there. Now we just looked at what it is, what it was. Now we're going to look at what it is. Verse 14 says, and when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Jesus was about to die. He was about to go to the cross. And he desired to eat this Passover with them. And then the scripture says in 17, he says, he took the cup and he gave thanks and said, take this. And divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. We want to pay close attention to what Jesus said here. He said, this is my body, which is given for you. He says, in other words, now I know what the Passover was, but he came to fulfill the word. He came to fulfill the scriptures. He said, this now do in remembrance of me. See, they remembered before. What happened was they had remembered before that, you know, about the Passover, the death angel passing over their house. And when they put the blood over the door, they had to remember that. Every year they would go and they would remember that. But Jesus, he said, you know what, now it's time for me to usher in, hallelujah, a new covenant with my people. And it was something that Jeremiah had already prophesied, that God said, you know, listen, this is going to be, he said, I'm going to put my laws in their hearts, and I'm going to put my laws on their hearts, and they're going to be my people, and I'm going to be their people. Jeremiah had already prophesied that. And so all throughout the history, God was coming to this point. This is where God was going with that thing. He said, you know, with the blood, people need to get a picture of what the blood of Jesus can do in their lives. Oh, the Passover. Now the Passover has changed. And Jesus said, now this do in remembrance, he said, of me. Because the blood of Jesus is what we've been talking about all day. Amen. And so Jesus, he's got to go to the cross. Is everybody with me here? Jesus is about to go to the cross. And what we need to understand is that he changed the situation. He changed it. He did what God was trying to do all along. And he said, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. And so you need to understand today that Jesus is that perfect lamb. He was the perfect and the lamb without a spot. He is the perfect lamb that had to go to the cross and who died on the cross for our sins. Jesus Christ was that perfect lamb that was slain. Hallelujah. And he hung there and he bled and he died for us. Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God. He said, now I want you to remember me. Remember what I have done. And so when we come to the table, we don't come to the table anymore thinking about everything else, but now we got to really start thinking about Jesus and thinking of remembering what he did on that cross. And when he died on that cross for us, and how he died, and how he bled and died, and then when his blood was flowing down, we got to understand that there was power in the blood of Jesus.
Thank you, God.
And just as the blood of Jesus is the Lord's provision for salvation from physical death, the blood of the lamb, the blood of the goats and the lamb was the provision for salvation for physical death. Jesus' blood is the Lord's provision for our salvation from spiritual death.
Amen.
And so when God sees the blood on us, hallelujah. When he sees the blood on us, he has to recognize the fact that you are one of God's children, and the angel has to pass over you. When he sees the blood on you. And so when you connect yourself with Jesus, when you say, you know, look, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. Well, when you connect yourself with Jesus, the blood of Jesus is applied to your life.
Amen.
And when the blood of Jesus is applied to your life, just like back in the day when they did the Passover, when they went in their homes and they put the blood over their doorposts, the blood of Jesus is applied to your life. And everywhere you go, you have the protection of our Lord. Hallelujah. You have the protection of God. Let me tell you, everything will have to pass over you because you got the protection of the blood of Jesus on your life. The blood of Jesus on your life. You have the protection of the blood of Jesus. And you know, we talked about that on Friday night, the blood of Jesus. We almost just lost it talking about the blood of Jesus on Friday night. And I'm trying to tell you, you plead the blood of Jesus over your life, and you will see God move mountains for you. Because what you are saying is that I believe you that you died on the cross for me. I believe you that you rose again from the dead. I believe you. And I commit myself to you, Jesus. And I believe you that when I apply the blood on any situation in my life, I believe it, that God, you will begin to move on my behalf. The blood of Jesus. It's the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. And see, some of us are walking around here, they don't understand the blood of Jesus. They don't understand that when Jesus was on that cross, he didn't just say, remember me because of who I am. But he said, remember me because of you. Because it was all about you. It was all about me. It was all about us. Hallelujah. He said, do this till I come. He said, do this. He said, remember me. Hallelujah. But it was all about us. Don't you know that, God had a plan from the very beginning? And when Adam sinned, the scripture says, wherefore as one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let me tell you something. The wages of sin is death, and we are sin. It says that all have sinned because of Adam. So we can't say, I ain't no sinner before we find Jesus. We can't say, oh, I ain't no sinner. Yes, you can say you are a sinner because you are. Because that's what the scripture says. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So guess what? We were all in trouble. Hallelujah. Because we were separated from our God. It was a death, a spiritual death that separated us from the God who loves us and who cares for us. And from the very beginning, our God made a plan. He said, oh, you know what? I'm going to put enmity between you, hallelujah, and the woman. And I'm going to put enmity between you and the serpent. He said, and guess what? I'm going to work this thing out because something's going to happen for my people. From the very beginning, when Adam sinned, God fixed it for us. And he had just been waiting to draw us back to himself. Can you imagine our God saying, you know what, I got to get my people back. Adam messed up. Because God, he's a God who will, he won't tell you, he won't make you do what he wants you to do. He just gives you a free will. And he just, he feels that, if he loves you enough and he helps you enough and he does whatever it is that you need for your life, if he gives you everything you need for your life, then, you would just serve him. You would trust him. You would do what he asked you to do. But, sometimes we get to a place where we want to do what we want to do and we don't trust God for what it is that he wants to do in our lives. And so God had a plan from the very beginning. He said, Adam, you messed up. I gave you your free will, and you did what you needed to do. Now I got to do what I need to do.
Well,
I am watching over my people. I'm looking at my people, and my heart is burdened. My heart is burdened down because, the enemy is having his way with my people. He is doing what he wants to do. He got their mind thinking all kinds of crazy things and having them do all kinds of crazy things. And I got to get in and do something about this.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
And my people are separated from me. They couldn't even come to him. The people had to go to a priest. And they had to take a slain lamb, and they had to take the blood to the priest. And the priest, only the priest could go in and take that blood in and take it to the Holy of Holies and present it to God. And then God would take the blood, and he would take the blood, and then he would forgive the people of their sins. That was the only way that they could be forgiven. They could not approach God. They better not have to come before God, because God would have to strike them down because they were sinful. So we were all under sin. We were all in trouble. The wages of sin is death. We were spiritually dead. We couldn't hear God if we wanted to. People got, the only way that people could really hear from God at that time was through prophets. The prophets would come and they would speak the words. They would speak the words of God to the people. And then sometimes the people would sit around and, you know, they would pray. They would try to pray, but, you know, they couldn't really go into the Holy of Holies with God. They couldn't really, you know, have a relationship with their God because they were separated from the love of God. The scripture says in Ephesians 2:13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off are now made nigh by the blood of Jesus. The only way that we could come to the Father is through the blood of Jesus. Because of the blood, the precious blood of Jesus, we are able to come to the Father. We are able to come boldly to his throne of grace where we can find mercy in our time of need. We are able to come to the Father, hallelujah, because of the blood. Because when he sees the blood, hallelujah, over our lives, whatever you're going through, whatever the situation is, God, I can come to you now. I don't have to wait for the priest to take the blood from me. I don't have to try and kill an animal. Because you know what? Jesus did it once and for all. Glory to his name. He did that. And he did it for us. The scripture says, but Christ, being in high priest, he became our high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made by hands. That is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and cows, but by his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. He bought our freedom with his own blood. Somebody better hear what I'm saying here. He bought our freedom. Once and for all. He didn't have to keep going back. He didn't have to keep dying and keep dying and dying because he had the perfect blood that God was looking for. And God did that for us. It was about Jesus, but it was about us. God said, I'm doing it for my people. I need to get them back. And so Jesus, he went in and he took his own blood and he entered into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. He already obtained it. He already bought our freedom. And all now we have to do, if you don't have the freedom, you don't have, if you haven't come to Jesus yet, all you got to do it. You just come to Jesus because it's already done. You don't have to beg him. You don't have to, you know, get all on your knees and pray 10 ways and all that stuff. You don't have to go through all those changes. The scripture says that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And so you will be in your sin forever if you don't accept the blood of Jesus over your life. And God is telling us today, I'm looking for my blood. Hallelujah. I'm looking for my blood on my people. I'm looking for my blood because, you know, and if you have the blood of Jesus on you, I'm looking for you to take some of the blood of Jesus, and I need for you to help other people apply the blood of Jesus. He said, because I want the blood of Jesus to just be red all over the place. The blood of Jesus everywhere. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Colossians said, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who have delivered us from the power of his dear Son. Hallelujah. Who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Oh, my God. He has translated us. Amen. The scripture says he has delivered us from the power of darkness. And he has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Glory to God. You didn't even realize that you were under the power of darkness. Before you came to Christ, I did so much crazy stuff before I came. came to Christ, I didn't realize that the devil had me like this. I was just doing everything that he wanted me to do. I wake up in the morning doing what the devil told me to do. You ever wake up in the morning if you used to smoke cigarettes? He telling you, get yourself a smoke. You know it's going to kill you. Don't worry about it. But it won't kill you. You know it's going to mess with your lungs.
Get up. Take a drink.
And you get up and you go, I feel like I need a drink. Let me go get a drink. I feel like I need a cigarette. Let me get me a cigarette. Whatever he said, whatever the devil said, I did. Whatever he said. Oh, I was just going and just I thought I was having me a good time. Oh, yeah, this is great. He had me. He had me. Past tense. He had me. He had my mind. He had my body. He had me. Oh, my God. He had me. And another thing about that is that, you know, I was in wrong territory, see? I was in power of darkness. I was in the kingdom of darkness. And so, what else was I going to do? You do like the Romans do. And you're in the kingdom of darkness. You act like the children of disobedience. That's where I was living. I lived in the kingdom of darkness. And I did what the children of disobedience did. That's what I did. I just had me some, I thought I was having me some fun. And what the enemy was doing was trying to destroy me. He came to kill, to steal, and to destroy me. That's what he came to do. And he was dangling all his nice looking stuff in my face, making me think, oh, you know, you got it. Come on, you can do this. And I'm like, my head is just spinning. He got my head spinning. And it's like being in a relationship with somebody who really don't care about you, but they're acting like they care about you. You understand what I'm saying? They're just treating you nice because they have something, you know, have an agenda. They have a motive. And so they're doing you're doing what he wants you to do, and you don't even realize it. You're thinking, you know, he's blessing me. Like he asked Jesus, he told Jesus, you know, tempted Jesus in the wilderness. And he told Jesus, I'm going to give you all of this. And Jesus put the word on him. He said, you know what? You shall not tempt the Lord thy God, okay? Get out of here with that. And so the scripture tells us that we're drawn away by our own lust that we have inside of us. And so if we have the lust of trying to get things and money and all that stuff, we need to pull down that stronghold. That's what we were talking about the other night. Because there's a stronghold that's trying to get you. Stronghold that's trying to get you messed up. And the enemy, he can come in there, he can tempt you with that. And you'll be drawn away by the own lust that you have on the inside of you. Especially when you're walking in darkness. You see, the lust, it's just free fall, a free fall, free fall, free fall. You feel bad because you did it, but it goes away. Because you're going to do it again, and you're going to do it again, and you're going to do it again. It goes away. You know, I shouldn't. Because God tells us, he lets us know in the scripture that, you know, none of us is without excuse. Even if you don't know me, you know me. Even if you don't know me, you know, because you can look at the stars hanging in the sky. You can look at this earth and how I can make this earth tremble when I feel like it. You know I'm God. You know I'm here. You know I'm around. You understand that. You don't think you don't know who I am. You know me. You know me. But what did Jesus do? What really happened? He, you know, the scripture says he translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin.
Yeah.
And so he translated us into his kingdom. Now, those of us who have put the blood over our lives, we have been translated into a new kingdom.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so now, this kingdom that we live in now is a lot different than what we lived in before. But the thing is, you know, God's saying that everything in this kingdom is great, it's pure, it's right, it's true, it's holy, everything in this kingdom. And yes, he said, we are going to make mistakes while we're in this kingdom. But he has given us a way of escape. He has given us a way to say, you know what, God, I'm sorry. And I ask for your forgiveness. And guess what? Jesus already died for our forgiveness. He forgave our past sins, our future sins, and our present sins. He forgave them all. All of our sins have been forgiven. So if we're walking around feeling like, God, I don't know if I'm going to ever be right again for you, because I know I did some bad and terrible things. And God, if you're doing that, then you're not doing anything but condemning yourself, because there is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ Jesus, guess what? The angel's going to pass by you. He's going to pass by you. He's not going to judge you. You know why? Because you have placed yourself under the blood of Jesus. And guess what? Guess what God is looking at? He's not looking at you and all your mistakes and all the things that you have done and things that you have said. He's not looking at that anymore. He's looking at the blood. Yes. He's looking at the blood on your life. And so God is saying to us today, you know, you may be going through some situations in your life and you may think, I'm saved. Now that I'm saved, I feel like, you know, I'm still sinning. I'm still doing things that's not right. But God is not looking at that. He's not looking at those sins that you're doing. He expects for you to get right with him. He expects for you to begin. But you know what? The more you get to understand who God is and the reason that he did what he did in your life, the more you get to know him, the more you will, your spirit man will begin to come, you know, alive in you, where you will begin to hear from God. You begin to know that, oh, God, I don't want to do this. And God, help me, God. You speak your word on it and get rid of it. And God will, he will forgive you. God is saying, I'm not condemning anyone. Because if you got the blood of Jesus over your life, hallelujah, I'm going to walk right past it. I'll walk right past it. I can't condemn you because I'm not even looking at you. I don't even know. I don't even see it. I see the blood. And so when I see the blood, he says, this is what I want you to remember. Remember, when I see the blood on your life, he said, you're clear. You are clear. He said, you're not clear to keep sinning.
Thank you. Make it plain. Make it plain. Come on.
You are not clear to keep sinning. Because you keep on sinning and you know, keep on, and keep thinking. That's why Paul was like, let me let y'all know. You know, be mindful about how you come to the table. Be mindful about the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is powerful, and it can save to the utmost. The blood of Jesus, it can heal your body. When Jesus died, he said, by his stripes, we are all healed. We are healed. You're looking for a healing? Pour the blood of Jesus over your life. We're healed. And allow God to manifest that healing in your life because you already healed. Allow God to manifest that thing because of the blood of Jesus over your life. God has done it for us. And he's saying, remember. Remember these things. What it was. It was the Passover. What it is. It's Jesus, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sins of the world. And who it's for. It was for you and I. Let us all stand in the house of the Lord.
Hallelujah.